Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 4, ending in verse 8, where we see that through John the Apostle, there is a lot to chew on and unpack in today's text. It is an unveiling of the end times, the revelation of Jesus Christ, from Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, and it is written to his bride, the people of God. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, with a message entitled, Behold, He's Coming.
Well, if I wash this, then maybe I can start to like this. That would make a little bit more sense to our human thinking. He wants you to know today that the loving came before the washing. And the washing isn't just like a quick little sprinkle or baptism. The washing actually is translated, it means the bathing. It actually can speak, I was tearing it up this morning, it actually can speak of what's done to a body, a corpse, when it's dead, when it's prepared for burial in the Orient, in the culture. And we've talked about that before. Every nook and crevice would be wiped down and bathed. It's talking about like a soldier who's wounded. It needs the wounds, the cuts, to be deeply cleansed so that infection can't set in. He's the one who loved us and loves us and always will love us and washes us. Does it encourage you? Don't you need a bath today? Don't you need to be cleansed? And aren't you thankful that his love is the motivation for it? Because he loves you, he washes you. Charlo, because I love you, young man, you need to take a shower. You stink. Dad, that's so mean. I took a shower yesterday. I understand, but you played football today. Dad, I got a shower tomorrow. I got a soccer game. I understand, but you stink today. You got to cut your nails, boy. You got to scrub behind your ears. Why am I telling you this? Because I love you. And you need to go get bathed. You need to go get washed. You don't disgust me. You're not grossing me out. You're welcome to my house. You're welcome to my couch. You're welcome to my fridge. This is your home. I want you to sprawl all over the place and make a mess like you do. You helpless little boy. But you need a wash. And I won't love you more when you come out clean. I'll think you look handsome when your hair's parted and you smell good. And I'll grab you when you're in those little undies of yours because he's still young. And I'll kiss you and hug you and wrestle with you. But I don't love you more now because you're bathed. You're bathed because I love you. He's the one who loves us, write this down, and he's the one who looses us from our sins by the means of his blood. So he doesn't just love us and wash us, he looses us. He sets us free is the language. He emancipates us. There's two pronouns put together closely here. It's unique. Here's how it reads. Ours were the sins, his was the blood. How good's that? Ours were the sins, his is the blood. You don't just wash us out of pity. Oh, maybe now I can love this guy if I clean him up. I clean him up because I love him. He cleans you up because he loves you. And it tells us here that he does for us in verse 6 what not even Adam experienced. He makes us kings and priests unto God his Father. And then there's this doxology that settles in the middle of verse 6. It's singular. It's unto him. There's this praise that bursts forth. It goes like this. Oh, bless the Lord, glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. John makes up language. Forever and ever. That's not even in the classical Greek. It's only found in the New Testament. It's ages upon ages. It's for an infinity and beyond. He makes up language here. It's made up in the New Testament. He employs this phrase that's used 14 times in Revelation. It's forever and ever, ages upon ages upon ages, man, that this glory will be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Aeons, ages, over and over and over and over again, a glory that belongs to him. This expression is strengthened for eternity. It's literally ongoing. It will never cease. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, the Hebrew counterpart is like this. For the futurities are perpetuity, and there's no ending to it. Whether you participate or not, it will never cease. And you understand why. Look who he is. Look what he's done. It's like this. Let me give it to you real simple. It's like, hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. What's going on? They shout each other down. We used to sing songs, I don't remember them right now, in our church where the ladies would sing in response to the guy singing. That's what's happening in our story. It's hard to keep calling it a narrative in our text. That's what's before us. The description of Jesus, the description of Father, before he's coming, hang on, who's coming? Let's get familiar with him. The description of the Spirit, complete likeness with all three that are part of the triune God. And there's this doxology that settles in of praise that should erupt. That's what's happening. John can't contain himself. And it will only intensify as we go, just so you know. It will only intensify as we go. The praise that bursts forth, and we'll see that as we move through. I'll highlight that for you. This is the God who said, he says, you deserve all worship, all glory, all honor, all adoration. And then we are told, behold, verse 7. 30 times in the book of Revelation, behold. It's like somebody grabbing your shirt. They can't even speak. They're so fascinated, and they want to point something out to you. Stop, consider, think about this. Set your mind on this. Let this consume your thoughts. Not the work week, not the masks, not the elections, not all this social injustice and all these things that are heavy to our hearts, and they are. They're heavy. But the Lord says, just for a few minutes, set your mind on this. Here it is. Behold, he cometh. It's behold, he's coming. It's present tense. He's coming. And I understand why he wants us to read it that way. He's our bridegroom. He's been gone for some time. He wants his bride to know. I would write letters like this if I were away. I would send texts like this to my wife and my kids, to my leadership team, to those who work with me. I would, people who are important, hey, I'm coming back. Like, don't, just hang in there. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'll be back again. I'm coming. And the Lord wants his bride to know that. Behold, he's coming. This is the first prophetic oracle of the book. Here it is. And it's essentially the whole topic of the book, the coming of Jesus Christ. Every pastor should be talking about this right now. The bride is despairing. People are discouraged. People are backslidden. People are giving up. People are throwing in the towel. People are putting their hope in man. Forget it. Behold, let me grab your spiritual shirt and let me point you to the book. Jesus, his book, his love letter to you. He says this morning, he is coming again. He wants you to know that. He wants you to be encouraged with that this morning. It will come through. Listen, it will come through over and over and over again. Here in verse 4, in verse 8, in chapter 2, verse 5, verse 16, chapter 3, verse 11, chapter 4, verse 8, chapter 16, verse 15, chapter 22, verse 7, 12, and 20 twice. And then how about this? Seven times from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. It comes from him, chapter 2, verse 5, verse 16, chapter 3, 11, chapter 16, 15, chapter 22, 7, 12, and 20. I'm coming. If he's not coming, and if this isn't real, let's go home. Let's go put our Bill Zumba pants on, get the grill started, cut the lawn, work out at the gym, do whatever everybody else does that doesn't have this hope. If this isn't, We might as well pack it up. I'm not in it for just morality. Forget it. If he isn't coming, I'm not going to stand in a room, no offense, with a bunch of all y'all raising my hands and singing in front of a screen and 10 other people. I'm not going to give my whole life to this. I got a lot vested in this. For a lot of you, perhaps it could be a thing you could take it or leave it. You even entertain from week to week. I don't know if I feel like registering today. I don't got a choice. This is what I do. I wouldn't do it for any other reason if it weren't, behold, he's coming. Like, you understand? Like, and he's coming with clouds, the writer says. Just like his ascension. Remember, he went up with clouds? He's literally coming again with clouds, but also figuratively. Because there's two comings, if you would. He comes with and he comes for. That's important. He comes with. The multitude of believers are represented by the clouds here. And maybe you're thinking, why does he call us clouds? Are we that airy? Are we that gassy? Are we that fluffy? Like, is that an insult? What is this here? It's none of that. Clouds in Scripture so often speak and represent the glory of God, the Shekinah, the cloud that filled the tabernacle, the cloud that surrounded Sinai when Moses received the Ten Commandments. What the Lord, I believe, is saying to us, the one who he loves, the one who he washes, and the ones who he looses, is that you, beloved, are my Shekinah. You are my glory. He's coming with clouds, Matthew 26, Daniel 7. John didn't need this revelation to find that out. It was already told to them. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He wants the world to know he's coming. And every eye's going to see him. And every eye's going to see him. And all those who pierced him, he's going to speak of the wounds he received and the house of his friends. He's coming again. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. All the kindreds of the earth, they're going to wail because of him. The wailing there is insane for those of you who are not saved. For those of you who would be here, will be behind Jesus, watching him from the backside. You'll be in front of Jesus, looking at him from the front side if you do not receive and believe. And the Bible talks about you right here. It's not a scare tactic. It's just honesty. It says that those who are here, earth dwellers, are going to wail because of his visage and what he's coming for. He, it tells us, is going to cause these people to wail. It means to beat their breasts and to weep, the Greek says, because of what they see. First time he came as a lamb. That's what church is about, visitors. That's what he came to bring grace and peace with men. That's what he came for. He came to take our hands and to bring him back into connection and fellowship with Father's hand. The second time he comes, he's not coming for that. He's coming as a lion. You can never say, no one told me. He's coming to bring judgment. That feels good to get that off my chest. John states the theme of the book in another triplet here. He uses the triple K-I-K-A-I. He says, number one, every eye is going to see him. Number two, those who pierced him. And number three, all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn over him because his very nature demands that he comes to judge the rest. Amen. I'm not saying it. He said it, which means it is true. It's a double affirmative in the language. The certainty of fulfillment is wanted to be understood by the Lord. This is going to be the case. This is important that we understand. That's why he takes Greek and Hebrew and he combines them. He wants it to be affirmative to us. This is what it's going to be. It's not a game. Just like when that first raindrop came in Noah's day. It's not a game. He's coming. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He wants us to understand this expression. It stands for totality. It's a fact about God. It expresses not only eternity, but also infinitude. The boundless life which embraces all. While it transcends all, he's the first letter, he's the last letter in simplicity of the Greek alphabet, Hebrew alphabet, the English alphabet, what other alphabet that you want to call it. And if he's the first and he's the last, he's everything in between. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. Crazy. He's the I was. He's the I still am. And he's the I'm in the future and I will always be. This is who he is, saith the Lord. First time that he speaks directly in the whole book, verse 8. The one which is, the one which was, and the one that is to come. And then he closes here fascinatingly. The Almighty. That's a good spot to end. And that's where we'll stop. You bookmark right there. He's the Almighty. He's the Almighty. Eight other times in Revelation, but watch this. Only one other time in the New Testament this word Almighty is used. Eight other times in Revelation, only one other time in the New Testament, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Same regard, he's the Almighty. In Job, it translates Shaddai, but in the rest of the Old Testament, it renders it this way, hosts, or the one who holds it all. I like it, watch this, or the one who has authority over it all, or the one who has dominion over all things. And last but not least, my favorite, Almighty, he's the one who has his hand on everything. That's settling. There's a lot of like frightful things in this book. There's a lot of things that I won't even pretend to understand. There's a lot of charges that in the weeks to come, and exhortations and declarations, it's going to be difficult for me. I appreciate your prayers. But for this morning, before all of that, and after what we've already discovered that's been somewhat hard for some of you to swallow, he wants you to leave with this. I'm the one who has my hands on everything. Now, remember when you were a kid and you felt a hand on your shoulder? Sometimes that was comforting, and sometimes that was disturbing. When your father would have put his hand on your shoulder, sometimes it was, oh, Dad, you're there. Oh, Dad, you're, you know, if you're there, don't matter. If those paws land on my shoulder, there's no fear. You're here. There's a comfort. But other times, because I was the one in my family who always got carried away, especially at the dinner table. So sometimes, if I felt that hand on my shoulder, it felt a little different. It wasn't comforting. It was scary. It wasn't anything that he did or any change that he had. It was according to where I was at the time. That was conditional upon what his hand did to my being. If you're ready for the Lord to come, if you are walking in grace, pursuing truth, then it's comforting. Hey, the Lord says, I'm the Almighty, the El Shaddai. I'm the one who has my hand on everything. Don't sweat it. I've got this, right? But if you're here today and you're living in carnality, you're living in sin, you're living a life of duplicity, your Sunday looks vastly different than your weekday or your weekend evenings, then it probably causes a different feel to you. His hand, if you could picture it that way, upon you. The Almighty. I sat with that. I think you should too. He's the Almighty. It's so unique. A lot of things here, very unique. We don't have anywhere else in the Bible. I think we should sit with it. He's the Almighty God. It should take your mind back to Isaiah 9:6, prophecy, 700 years before Christ was even born of Virgin Mary. But it should also take your mind to right now, everything that's going on. We are living in the craziest of days. I have no clue. Is this the future of the church? Are people going to come back to the Lord? Is the great falling away begun? Are we watching apostasy before our very eyes? Are we the generation that's going to hear the trump sound? Are we the ones who are going to hear the voice of the archangel? Are we the ones who are going to follow the dead in Christ rising first? And we who are alive being caught up in the air with the Lord? Are we? I don't know. I don't know. Are things going to get a lot worse? Are we the cub mentioned in prophecy of England? Are we in Bible prophecy? Are we going to stand as a nation? Are we going to become a part of Europe? China, Russia, I don't know. I don't know. Are we going to experience some of what's described in prophecy before he comes and snatches us away? I don't know. I do know he's Almighty God. He loves me. He's washed me. And before he comes in this manner, he's coming to take me, to meet him, to be with me. Behold, I'm coming is not the hope of the church here. It's the testimony of the church. The hope of the church. Listen carefully. The blessed hope of the church is that he comes before these things unleash. He's the Almighty God. By him, all things were created. And by him, all things will be consummated. He's in control. He puts kings on their thrones. He allows presidents to be elected. Even the devil is his servant. He's working it all together. Nothing is happening in the world right now, even though we are all in this global pandemic. Nothing is happening that is outside of his control. He's the Almighty. Parents, you're sick of the kids in school, out of school. You're sick of you guys, all of these things that are going on. They're so bizarre. It feels like we're in a twilight zone. I get it. But we all could take our minds, our attention, our focus and shift it to this. Almighty God. Almighty God. Maranatha, the Lord has come, the Lord is coming, and the Lord will come. God, we close your word on holy ground. We are so excited in some ways, God, about these things. But depending on where we are finding ourselves this morning, spiritually speaking, God, there could be a different feel. Represented in the room, on the grounds, those who are streaming this service. And we're asking, Lord, what we ask every week, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus, you would draw all men to yourself. Thank you that you are Almighty God. Thank you that you are the trusty witness. Thank you that we can look to you to receive our hope and our help. We join in with John the Revelator this morning, and we sing to you. We pray that the glory and honor and adoration of heaven would be echoed in this room and that it would bless you. Church, let's stand and bless the Lord, singing to him, raising our hands, thanking him for all that he is.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.